Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Vim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet. O Jayam Udirayet. Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttamashloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text Number 25. Chakrena Choradarena Jahara Bibitak Shiraha Haristasyakabandastu Sudaya Plavito Patar. Chakrena, by the disc. Shuradharena, which is very sharp like a razor. Jahara, cut off. Pibita, while drinking nectar. Shiraha, the head. Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasya, of that Rahu. Kabandanaha, to, but the headless body. Sudhaya, by the nectar. Aplavita, without being touched. Apatat, immediately fell dead. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus, Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Dishata Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangolangayate Girim Yatkribastamahang Bande Sri Gurundina Tarinam Vanshakapatarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Vaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gora Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you very much for asking me to give this class. I'm very grateful to all of you. Last time I gave class here in Vrindavan, Dharmatma Prabhu chastised me a little bit. He said that the class was all right, but I should have told more stories about Srila Prabhupada. So I'll try to save some time toward the end so that you can relish some nice stories of Srila Prabhupada. So in this verse we see that this wonderful, miraculous incarnation of Krishna, Mohini Murti, she's cheating the demons. She's very tricky. And we see that other incarnations of Krishna are also tricky. If we look at the story of Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakashipu was making so many calculations of how he could become immortal, seeking this amrita, seeking this nectar, right? He wanted to become immortal, but Nrisimhadev outsmarted his material calculations. We see also that Vamandev, he's famous for being tricky, for cheating Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj's family members were so disturbed that Vamandev had come to cheat him. If we look at Parsaram and Kalki, and even maybe Lord Balaram in his pastime with the Jamuna, there is no question of negotiations. There's no question of nonviolent communication. It's just happening, right? And then even in the incarnation of Lord Ram, the gopis criticized Lord Ram when they were angry at Krishna. They were criticizing Lord Ram that you cheated Bali. You shot him with your arrows just like a hunter from a secret place. How unfair, you're so cruel. So, and then of course, Lord Buddha is famous as being the Kaitava avatar in one of the previous, see if I can find it. In one of the previous purports, Srila Prabhupada describes the Buddha incarnation as being, well, we won't look for it now, but the Buddha incarnation is famous for cheating, throw away the Vedas, forget the Vedas, practice ahimsa, ahimsa paramo dharma, right? So this was the cheating of Lord Buddha. So the last phrase in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, talks about miraculous ambrosia. So this ambrosia, this amrita that so many people are seeking, even in Europe they were seeking this, the Holy Grail. They would be seeking the alchemist's mixture, how to transform iron into gold, how to become immortal. So this mritya, how to conquer death, how to go beyond death, this is really the thrust of the shastra, to go beyond death. Everyone, when we hear Krishna Katha, it's really all about going beyond death, conquering death. And when devotees are gathered to hear about Krishna Katha, Yamaraj also comes. Maybe you've heard that before. Yamaraj likes to sit in a class hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he can't be distracted by his his other duties of capturing people with the noose of death. So the fact is that by hearing Krishna Katha, by speaking Krishna Katha, by attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class, this is the path toward immortality. Most all Hindus know this verse. We heard Prabhupada say, quote this verse the other day. Asato mam sat gamaya, jyotir mam amritam gamaya. Right? Most all Hindus quote that verse. But the point of the verse is, go away from ignorance, go away from the realm of death, come to the realm of immortality. This is the message of the Shastra. In so many places we hear this message, take us to the realm, take us from the realm of the asat, take us to the realm of the sat. The third verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, nigama kalpa turo galitam palam sukamukhar amrita dravisamrita pibita bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika buvibhavakaha. O expert and thoughtful men, do relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit which is made more tasteful being spoken by the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. So this is one of the very first messages of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first verse, then the second verse kicks out all cheating religion, and this is the very third verse. Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, 18th verse, Arjuna is speaking to Krishna and he's saying, the more I hear your nectarian words, the more I want to taste this nectar. The more I hear your ambrosial words, the more I hear the nectar of your words, the more I want to taste. Vistarenatmano yogam vibhutim cha janardanam bhuya kataya triptirhi srinvato nasti memritam. Again, this word amritam, this nectar, which the devotees are always seeking. So if you think about it, in Krishna consciousness, we have so often hear this word nectar. We have Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have Srila Prabhupada Lila Amrita. We have the Vrindavan Mahimamrita. We have Namamrita. Spiritual life is always seeking this deathless Amrita. And of course, in Lord Chaitanya's first Sikshastakam prayer, he says, Purnamrita Svadanam, right? Cheto darpanam, maybe everyone can say it together. Cheto darpanam ajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvarpanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavatu jivanam anandam buddhi vardanam pratipadam purnamrita svadanam sarvatma snapanam parang vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. So this is the glory that by chanting the holy name, by sitting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we become deathless. We approach this world of deathlessness. So much information, so many literatures. And in Krishna consciousness, we hear so many literatures, so much. Sometimes devotees say that we, in Krishna consciousness, we have so much in our heads, right? Sometimes we have so much information in our heads, so many literatures, so many quotes, so many things we've heard. Sometimes we argue back and forth about this point or that point. So I was thinking, just as Rahu, his head became immortal because it tasted nectar, but then his body died, right? So I was thinking that if this Amrita, this Krishna conscious Amrita only stays in our heads, but doesn't really descend into our heart space, then where will we be? We'll be like a headless body that's described in this verse. We'll be like Rahu. We'll be just like a headless body running around. And sometimes we actually feel that way, that, oh, Krishna, please let these literatures come deep into my heart. Otherwise, I am just a headless body running around in the material world. How unfortunate, right? So what we perceive as nectar actually depends on our modes of nature. Bhagavad Gita 18:37 talks about the famous verse that happiness in the mode of goodness may be like poison in the beginning, but it is like nectar in the end. And another quality of happiness in the mode of goodness is that it awakens us to self-realization. So this is a quality of happiness in the mode of goodness. But what we see in Vrindavan, if you go on Parikram or you walk around Vrindavan, you can see there's so many different hogs and dogs and monkeys and in different modes of nature, right? They have different ideas of what is happiness, different ideas of where they will find nectar. They have different tastes of what they consider nectar. The hogs are finding their delicacies in the gutter, right? So this is their taste. They're looking in the gutter to find their nectar, their delicacies. So without some little taste for Krishna consciousness, someone really can't even sit down in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. They can't even really see the deities. I remember when I was pujari in Boston, we had very small deities and we had so many flowers. And one lady came and she was looking at the altar and she said, "Why do you worship flowers?" She couldn't even see the deities. So, and I know my own mother, when she would come to see the deities, she would only see their clothes. She'd say, "Oh, they're so beautiful, the clothes are so beautiful." But she didn't really see the deities. So depending on our taste, depending on our modes of nature, we see accordingly. Sanjaya, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, he's speaking about how when he remembers this sacred conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, he's experiencing a thrill at every moment. So someone in a different mode of nature would be looking for their thrills in another place, right? Someone in the mode of passion, Prabhupada would sometimes quote the American or English aphorism, "Money is the honey," right? So someone in the mode of passion, that's their thrill, looking for more investments or looking for more money or looking for more girls on the street or looking for more boys on the street or whatever, something like that. But the devotees pray, maybe you know this prayer, "Yuvati nam yata yuni yunancham yuvato yata mano bira mate tadva mano me ramatam tvai." So the devotee is seeing this kind of lust in the material world and praying to Krishna, just as the minds of young boys are naturally, spontaneously attracted to young girls, and the minds of young girls are spontaneously attracted to young boys, let my mind be so spontaneously attracted to you, dear Krishna. So this is a beautiful example for us to pray for this kind of taste. So when we don't have this taste, so what does Krishna instruct toward the end of the Bhagavad Gita? He says, this conversation can never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to those who are envious. Why? Someone have an answer? Why? Why is Krishna being stingy? Is he being miserly? That only this conversation should be only in a closed community? Why? Why does Krishna say it? Yes, Prabhu? If someone hears, they might become more envious. What else? Anything else? What was that? It's specially for devotees. Yeah. Anybody else have a thought on that? So, of course, we know Srila Prabhupada breaks this rule, right? He explains in one of his Bhagavad Gita purports that sometimes the devotee is more merciful than the Lord. Of course, what is the ninth offense to chanting? To explain the glories of the holy name to those who are unfaithful. So we have to be very cautious also. Sometimes people will just trash this nectar. There's the saying in the Bible, pearls, don't throw your pearls before swine. What does that mean? What will a pig, right? What's a pig going to do? If you put some precious pearls, give it to a pig, what's he going to do? He's going to stomp on it, see if it tastes, if it's tasty, throw it in the gutter, trample on it. So we have to be cautious. You know, we don't necessarily have the great power that Srila Prabhupada had. We have to be cautious who we share these treasures with and really try to hear from them. This communication seminar we attended the last few days was so much about hearing. Sarab, where Sarab is? He here, Sarab Tribikram. He said the best thing he heard in the communication seminar was that how we have to hear more. Hear more. We have two ears, one mouth. The ears are naturally open. The mouth is naturally closed. Hear more. So try to understand when we go out to preach. First, try to hear. Where is this person coming from? How can I actually give them this nectar, this deathless nectar of Krishna consciousness? Yeah, because if they have no taste, sometimes they'll just commit offenses. In the early days, Srila Prabhupada would give initiation so easily. He would ask someone, who is Krishna? And if they could say, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Prabhupada would say, okay, he can be initiated. So Prabhupada gave it so freely, just like throwing it out, just throwing out seeds everywhere to see if some would take root. And without discrimination, because sometimes those seeds take root in the most unlikely of places that we couldn't have imagined, right? So on this topic of not explaining the glories of the holy name to the unfaithful, once I was at Harvard University, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing, and after his lecture, one of the students, one of these brilliant students from Harvard, asked Srila Prabhupada in a very speculative way, what is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra? And Srila Prabhupada, it was so interesting to see Srila Prabhupada in action like this, because Srila Prabhupada just immediately put down his speculation. He said, you are an intelligent man. You are an educated young man. These are proper nouns. Just like my name is Swami Bhaktivedanta, you do not translate proper nouns. You should know this. It was very interesting to just see him just putting down this scholar who wanted to speculate on the meaning of the holy name. So yeah. So talking about nectar, the residents of Vrindavan, here we are in the wonderful Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan, when they hear the flute of Lord Krishna, the animate, those things that are non-moving begin to move. Those things that are moving become frozen in their positions. The little calves that are usually so eager to drink the milk of their mothers, they just freeze, and the milk is just dripping down the side of their little mouths hearing Krishna's flute, and their little ears become like little cups to just drink up the nectar of Krishna's flute. And stones melt, and this is the magic of the nectar of Krishna's flute. We're talking about nectar, right? So what is the supreme nectar? The nectar of Krishna's flute. The nectarine words of pure devotees carry the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And of course, the gopis, when they hear the nectar of Krishna's flute, they curse the flute. They say that this nectar, the nectar of Krishna's lips, is meant for us gopis. Why has this little bamboo rod stolen the nectar that belongs to us gopis? So unfair, right? So Mohini Murti is a thief. She's cheating the demons. And we see that the source of all avatars, the avatari, ete chamsa kalapunsam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is a thief. He is a cheater, right? There's even a beautiful astakam that I'd like to share with you that's called the Chor Astakam. The Chor Astakam. First, I want to read you a couple of other things about a little bit about nectar. Let me just read you this one. This is from the Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Ah, only a fool happy to be praised by pig-like men will not take shelter of Vrindavan, which is an ocean of bliss. Then he says, calling out, "He's a thief! He's wretched and degraded." He's talking about people calling him a thief, the devotee. Cursing, hitting, and tying him up. "Let everyone trouble this faultless body. Let it suffer a host of unbearable tortures. But let my body just stay in Vrindavan." Nice, huh? And then here's one about Srimati Radharani, about nectar. "Vrindavan's queen brings limitless pure bliss to he whose face is Vrindavan's splendid moon, risen from the nectar ocean of bliss and love. She fills Vrindavan with nectar, and she makes her beautiful friends again and again shed tears, and their bodily hairs stand erect in wonderful ecstatic love, just like her own." Okay, so here is the Chor Astakam, 8 verses. It's hard to listen to reading, so really try to open your ear holes and pay attention, okay? Because this is so beautiful. So Chor, what does Chor mean? Thief. It's 8 verses praising the supreme thief. "I offer pranams to the foremost of thieves, who is famous in Vraja as the butter thief, and he who steals the gopis' clothes, and who, for those who take shelter of him, steals the sins which have accrued over many lifetimes." Beautiful. 3 things he steals. Try to remember them later today, right? Remember the 3 things that Krishna steals. "I offer my pranams to the foremost of thieves, who steals Srimati Radhika's heart, who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud, and who steals all the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his feet." Okay, here's the 3rd one. "He turns his surrendered devotees into paupers and wandering homeless beggars. Aho! Such a fearsome thief has never been seen or heard of in all the 3 worlds. Mere utterance of his name purges one of a mountain of sins. Such an astonishingly wonderful thief I have never seen or heard of anywhere. O thief! Having stolen my wealth, my honor, my senses, my life, and my everything, where can you run to? I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. You cut the terrible noose of Yamaraj. You sever the dreadful noose of material existence, and you slash everyone's material bondage, but you are unable to cut the knot fastened by your own loving devotees. O stealer of my everything, O thief, today I have imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the terrible darkness of my ignorance. And there, for a very long time, you will remain, receiving appropriate punishment for your crimes of thievery." And here's the last one, okay? You still with me? Here's the last one. "O Krishna, thief of my everything, the noose of my devotion remaining forever tight will continue to reside in the prison. You will continue to reside in the prison house of my heart, because I will not release you for millions of eons." Isn't that nice? Chor Astakam. So, we spoke, in conclusion, we spoke a little bit about nectar, becoming freed from death through the Amrita, Dravasamritam. This immortal nectar frees us from the cycle of birth, from the cycle of birth and death. We talked about how we have to get a taste for Krishna Katha. We talked about how if this Krishna Katha, all the information that we get downloaded into our brains, if it remains in our brains and doesn't go down deep into our hearts, that we'll be just like headless bodies running around the world. How will we be empowered to give Krishna consciousness to anyone? So these are some thoughts on nectar. We talked about the different modes of nature, how people have different concepts of nectar according to their modes of nature. Yes. So then I want to save some time for questions, but a few nice stories, nectar stories about Srila Prabhupada. I was remembering that here in Vrindavan, this must have been about 1974, Srila Prabhupada was speaking in his room one night about intelligence. And he was saying that intelligence means to give very much attention to details. Sometimes it's said also that this is a sign of love. When someone gives great attention to details, this is a sign of love. Like when the pujaris dress the deities, if they put on everything a little crooked, it doesn't matter. They're not showing their love. We see how much love is being put into the beautiful Sringar of the deities here at Krishna Balaram Temple. So Srila Prabhupada told a few stories. He told one story. He said that when he was a little boy, and he would be practicing his mridanga at his home in Calcutta, during the rainy season, there would be a dripping pipe from the rain. And it would drip sometimes a little faster, sometimes a little slower. And he would use that dripping water as a metronome to practice his beats a little faster, a little slower. So using everything in Krishna's service. It's nice, huh? And then he gave another example. He said someone was having a job interview. And there was an interesting question in the job interview. The question was, have you ever ridden on a train called the Punjab Mail? It's a train that brings the mail to Punjab. So if the interviewee says, oh yes, I ride that train every day. So then the next question becomes, how many cars are on the Punjab Mail train? In other words, if you're intelligent, if you're observant, and you ride that train often, you should observe how many cars, you count the cars. Prabhupada said an intelligent man, when he's lying on his back, will naturally count the rafters, the beams, and the ceiling. And then he told another story, another job interview. There was one man who came in for the job interview, and he did not close the door, and he sat down for the interview. And when he was interviewed, the interviewer and his assistant could see that this man had all the qualifications for the job. And then he left, didn't close the door. And then another man came in. He carefully closed the door and sat down for the interview. And when they spoke to him and interviewed him, they saw that he had none of the qualifications for the job. And then he said goodbye. He carefully closed the door and he left. So the head interviewer asked his assistant, which one do you think is going to get the job? And his assistant said, it's so obvious, the one with all the qualifications. He said, no. The one without the qualifications, because he carefully closed the door. We will be able to train him for this job. The other men we won't be able to train. We should tell this story to Sarab also. But anyway, that's a nice story. There's another story. Let me see. I'll just tell one more, maybe two more stories. Okay, let me tell you a very funny story. This took place in Berkeley, California. I don't know if you've heard it before. But one of the BBT artists, this was after Ratha Yatra, a group of devotees sitting in Prabhupada's room, just talking to Prabhupada, having his darshan. And one of the BBT artists pulled a copy of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya off the bookshelf in the room. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, we see that Lord Chaitanya is pictured with very long hair. And Srila Prabhupada would always answer a question according to the mentality of the person who was asking. He didn't so much answer the question, he would answer the mentality of the person who was asking. So Srila Prabhupada picked up the mentality of this person that he would also like to have long hair. Lord Chaitanya has long hair. Why can't we have long hair? And so Prabhupada said very thoughtfully, he said, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was hippie. He was hippie. And then he was so funny. He was being so cheeky. And he said, therefore he has come to save you. But it was really funny because Prabhupada's Bengali accent, you know, in Bengali all the S's are more or less SH, a little bit more, a little bit less. So the devotees in the room weren't sure, was Prabhupada saying save you or is he saying shave you? So Prabhupada just picked up on that and he kept repeating, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has come to save you and shave you, save you and shave you, save you and shave you. It was so funny. So funny. Srila Prabhupada was so funny. I'm going to tell you one more story that I like. This is my most favorite story of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan and there was a very young brahmachari there. He had just come. He was very unqualified. He had just lost his shoes. He had lost his driver's license. He had no identification. And they gave him the job of being the night guard at Prabhupada's house. Prabhupada was staying in a house a little bit away from the temple. So he was given the service to be the night guard. Srila Prabhupada was translating, he was hearing Prabhupada speaking from upstairs. The light was on, it was at night. And he was thinking, wow, Srila Prabhupada's reading his own books. But then he was hearing the clicking of the dictaphone and he was realizing Prabhupada is actually translating. And he was so charmed and so mesmerized hearing Prabhupada translating. And then what happened was it started to rain. And so he went into the attached garage to do his service from inside. And then when he went in there, all of a sudden he felt a presence behind him in that garage. And he turned around, and there was Srila Prabhupada standing right behind him in the garage. And he was so bewildered. He offered obeisances, and then he said, Srila Prabhupada, is there any service I can do for you? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can go where I will not go. And that bewildered him so much more because Prabhupada had just come from Caracas, Venezuela, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Dallas, Texas, Chicago. And after New Vrindavan, he was going to New York, London, Paris, Germany, Tokyo. Where is it? Where is it, Srila Prabhupada, that you won't go? And Prabhupada gave him the most profound and beautiful answer. And I hope you remember this answer and share it with your friends because it's so beautiful. So where is it that you won't go, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, to the future. And by the way you treat the people there, they will know how much Krishna loves them. Isn't that beautiful? So here we are in the future. And by the way we treat the people, they will know how much Krishna loves them. So thank you all so very much. If there's any questions, I think we have a little time for questions or discussion. Yes, Prabhu. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's a beautiful point. If we want to sit amongst the sages, if we want to enter the assembly of the sages of Naimsharanya, we have to qualify ourselves. Of course, you can see the mood of Srila Prabhupada, he's so much in the mood of Lord Nityananda, just take it. Just take it without any qualification. This is miraculous. You know, he broke the rule. Sometimes people see that Prabhupada doesn't do the Vedic thing. He broke the rule, oh, no one should cross the ocean, right? He crossed the ocean out of his compassion and gave the holy name, gave Krishna Katha to all of us. We're so unqualified. Thank you. We have to qualify. So we should take it to heart. We should qualify ourselves. Follow the principles, chant sincerely, and become qualified to take it deeply into our hearts, not just leave it in our headspace. Yes, Ananda. She's saying it's up to the devotees to create an interest in Krishna Katha, yeah? Speaking about the Muslim community. Right. Right.
He said the Brahmins would call out to the two brothers walking past, even their shadow shouldn't fall on the ground. So they would call out, oh, two brothers walking past. And no interest was given. So what problem is it? Is it naked?
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is the responsibility of the preachers, that if we have, this is, Prabhupada said this in his Nectar of Devotion classes in Vrindavan 1972, that if the preachers have no taste for Krishna Katha, then their preaching will be only imitation, just imitating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An imitation cannot act. Everywhere Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, people became devotees. So yeah, it's the responsibility of the preachers. Sometimes people wonder, why are people becoming Christians? Wow, well, if the Hindus don't treat the people of the lower classes with respect, don't honor them for their contributions to society, why not become Christian? Well, they'll become honored for who they are. They can find some path of devotion to God. Why not? So we have to make it very accessible. Thank you. Beautiful point. Anything else? Any other? Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, I'm not understanding. How can we make this difference? You can see that when someone actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness, maybe you can think of some devotees you know who have that taste, that it becomes like fire. There's no mistaking it. It touches you and it ignites. Hearing from Srila Prabhupada, hearing from so many great followers of Srila Prabhupada, sometimes it's the most simple person in the temple who has a taste for Krishna consciousness. But you hear something from them and it's like fire that just ignites. So we have to really pray for this. I think this is something a sincere devotee is always praying for. Give me that authentic taste for the holy name. Give me a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, I was just telling this story in Delhi the other day. Srila Prabhupada, before he went to the West, he was praying and praying and praying. He prayed at the home of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. He was praying at the Radha Damodar temple for so many years. Maybe you know this story. I'll take a few minutes. This beautiful story, Srila Prabhupada, when he was living at Radha Damodar, there was a Babaji named Hridayananda Das Babaji who was living next door. And at night when he would be trying to sleep, he would hear some crying. And he didn't know where that crying sound was coming from. And so he would just fall back asleep. But one night it was the full moon night. And it was very bright. So he thought, I will go up to climb up on the roof and see where this crying sound is coming from. So he climbed up to the roof and then he looked into the courtyard of Radha Damodar temple and he saw the very distinguished Bhaktivedanta Swami who was living next door at Radha Damodar, who so many great scholars and mahants of Vrindavan were coming to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam with him. He knew how respected this Bhaktivedanta Swami was. And here he's sweeping so humbly in the dead of night, not making a show, but in the dead of night, sweeping and crying. He's crying out, "Hey Gurudev, hey Rup, hey Sanatan, give me your mercy. Without your mercy, how can I execute the mission of my Guru Maharaj. This is what's required. Otherwise, we're just imitators. And I mean, frankly, when we sell a book, the person who's buying the book, they're looking at you. If I buy this book, I'll become like him. I'll become like her. You're selling yourself. You have to be an example of what's inside the book. You know, Srila Prabhupada sometimes would chastise, these books are not for selling. Are you reading them? Oh, I don't have time, Srila Prabhupada. You make time. So I think our time is up. Thank you all so very much. We're so... 2 minutes? Oh, I'm sorry. He had... Are you all hearing this? Srila Prabhupada was, some sadhu saw Srila Prabhupada sitting just next to this property, just chanting.
Under this tree.
What?
Under this tree.
Oh, under this tree. Under this very desire tree. Pray to this desire tree. Prabhupada prayed to this tree. So pray to this tree. Let me get some taste for the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, for the message of Lord Chaitanya. Beautiful. And his desire became true. This temple manifested also. Also, we've heard in Mumbai at Chaupati, Srila Prabhupada looked in the direction of the now current Chaupati temple. He was standing on the steps of the Bharatiya Bhavan. He was standing on the steps, pointing in the direction of where the Chaupati Radha Gopinath temple is now, saying, there should be a temple here. So Prabhupada's desire, Krishna could execute his desires. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry, I didn't understand. Thank
you. If we realize knowledge, we express it from your heart in simple language.
Beautiful. Beautiful. If we express from our heart in simple language. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada makes his apology in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though this Srimad Bhagavatam is being presented with so many broken words, still thoughtful men will appreciate. You know, he gives the example, when there's a fire in the house and you don't speak the language, somehow you get the message across. So thank you all so very much. Hare Krishna.